What's up, guys? Welcome to the Flawed Dad's Guide to Parenting, the podcast all about the average flawed dad learning to be a better parent. Today, we're lucky enough to be talking to Scott Doucette, a fellow podcaster, podcast producer, dad. You've started your own club. You've got a lot of stuff going on, and we're looking forward to talking to you. I know you just started something called The Knighthood, and we've talked a little bit about before it. We were talking a little bit about it before. You're a comedian. You've just launched a Patreon page for people to join up and support your comedy. You've got a lot of stuff going on. And we're really looking forward to chatting with you about being a flawed dad, you know, stuff that you've experienced parenting. I know you've openly talked a little bit about your experience with your dad before. So there's a whole bunch of questions I've got for you, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you. So everybody stick around, listen to a couple of flawed dads, figure out how not to screw up our kids too bad. Scott, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I'm both excited and terrified. And to that note, you're gonna jank up your kids. It's just how it doesn't have to be as bad.
That really is the point. I mean, the whole reason we started this whole thing is because, you know, my kids are janked up pretty good. So, you know, Graham and look,
you just want to have them a little less screwed up than you were
exactly
as a kid, and you just work along that progression, just like a, you know.
Look, we're looking into preschools for my 2.5-year-old daughter. And like, if you were to ask her if I'm a good parent 1 minute to the next, it's a different answer.
Yep.
So.
Oh yeah. And that's not something that changes ever. It's a constant, like it's a spectrum of how much they dislike you at any given moment. Right? What did you just recently take away from me that I can now, you know, give my opinion on?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know what it's like for you, but at least for my house, certainly, even though I'm around enough, my daughters, you know, if I leave, take off and do something other, you know, I come back and like, oh, you're back? Like, I'm sort of happy to see you, but did you leave? I had no idea. Whereas, you know, her mom goes off for 2 minutes to the bathroom or something like that, and they're like, hold on, where did mom go? Where's dad? Where's mom? Where is mom? Like, and they have to know right away.
Now, the two of you actually have a fair amount in common in both working from home and having stay-at-home moms mm-hmm. alongside you.
Excellent.
How do you find working from home with kids? Particularly, I mean, I guess the pandemic maybe hasn't affected you quite as much because you were home anyways, but how are you able to be a human being and dad while working from home?
It was really difficult, especially once my daughter figured out doorknobs. Yes. I was on a call maybe a week ago, and my daughter just like walked into the room, sat down, looked at the screen, asked me who it was. And I was just like, this is a potential client, honey.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to negotiate rates and talk, like, you know, business and all that. And she's like, oh, okay. Like stares into the camera, and I was like, oh well, this, do you like kids? Like, let's take this in a different direction, you know. But yeah,
I just like to take the approach that sometimes that makes you endearable little bit, right? Like,
I definitely took it that way. So when the pandemic started, I have a career in finance outside of this, and I give like national presentations for a major insurance company, and so I was doing these webinars that would have 1,000 people on it. And I always prefaced it that one of my kids may walk in at any moment and interrupt this. I'll try and get us back to it anytime I can. And yeah, it is kind of endearing, right?
Well, I, at one point realized like early in my business, I had my daughter sitting on my lap crying as an infant at 8 p.m. while a client on the Pacific Coast needed me to do something for her. And she was getting impatient in both of them, the client and the baby. And to be fair, like I honestly didn't know which one was worse at the time. Like I was thinking about it and I was just like, I don't know which one of you is pissing me off more. Right. But I love my daughter. So woman, you have to go.
That's right.
Like, and so I realized that day that like, I don't want to work with anyone who doesn't like kids.
Yeah.
At least in that professional business setting. on the comic front, you don't have to like kids. I don't care.
Right. Yeah. Or even just, yeah, it is interesting how people have kids or not, like kids or not, but even just having just the general empathy or understanding that, you know, like this must be a unique situation here. You know, it probably doesn't come around very often.
Yeah.
It's bizarre how some people are, you know, the world revolves around them type stuff.
We're living in a world that is less and less pro-children, is what I'm noticing. People are becoming more annoyed with kids being around. And like, that's great, but if you plan to repopulate ever, you're going to have to get used to the idea that kids are cool.
Yeah. Like, I don't know about you. I grew up in a world where kids were meant to be seen, not heard, right? Like a very traditional kind of WASP family where kids were quiet. And
my parents would have loved that. They would have loved that. They would have enjoyed the heck out of it. Yeah.
So comedian, right? You've done radio hosting, podcasting, podcast production, and so your new thing, or not new, but your Patreon venture right now is to support your comedy. Tell us a little bit about your comedy career and how that came about.
Well, I mean, it's been ongoing and unknowingly so for my entire life. Mm-hmm. Like I was the goof of the household. Mind you, when a military stepfather came into the picture, like goofiness is not cool. So that got repressed for a little while, but had some of the dark sides of life. But
just extra fodder for material.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You got it. He is actually a full blown character. when COVID decides to let me get on stage. But I was a radio host, like you said. I've had multiple shows on terrestrial radio. I've done podcasts, business podcast, fatherhood related. I've hosted, like you said, a men's group. We call it the Knighthood. Yeah. We called it the Knighthood. We're kind of shifting into a different direction, but it's all the same good value stuff. But the entire time I've noticed one thing in common, and that was just like everybody laughs when we're together, when I'm around. And if I'm not showing up to one of those Friday calls, the guys just all bail on each other. So like, I'm like, okay, well, all right. They're there for the laughter. They're there for the camaraderie. They're there for the fun. And when I had a couple of interesting circumstances come about in 2021 already. I know we're only like a few days in, but
yeah, but it's 2021. Like it's to be expected. Yeah. This is going to be an interesting year.
It's been a hell of a year so far. Yeah, that's tell right. You. Yeah. So I've had some projects fall apart. I've had some contracts dissolve. I've had some things just kind of free me up a bit. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking like, I could do anything right now. What do I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like I'm at kind of a time of a potential reinvention. Where do I want to take this? You know, I run a digital media company. Like we do the graphics,
the audio editing, all that stuff.
Like, so I have the assets to do whatever I want online. What do I want to do? Do I want to teach people stuff? Whatever. And I recently had to fold the Fathership podcast.
Right.
Not really had to fold it. I wasn't like, no one tapped me on the shoulder and said like, you have to stop this.
Right.
But
yeah, cause you were 27 episodes in, like you had some really good content in there.
Oh, we had great content in there. And like, it was funny. And probably the best thing that came of it was that I had a gentleman message me on Christmas and say that like he got a phone call from his son and they had been falling out for like a year and he hadn't spoken to him in 9 months and he got a call from his son. They talked, they forgave each other, told each other they loved each other, started connecting again. So like it was really cool and it was making an impact, which is what I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
But someone started following me on Instagram by the name of Demetrius Early.
Okay.
And he runs a show called The Fathership Project, which he started a year before I started mine.
Okay.
So I went and scoped out his stuff and I was like, well, if it's a trash show, I'm just going to keep going.
Right. Yeah.
Because like if it's garbage content, like no. And then I started listening to the show and I was like, actually, this is really good. Mm-hmm. Like, he's doing a better job at this than I ever could. Like, this angle is covered. And plus, like, there's a lot of scrutiny when you put out a parental podcast. I don't know if you guys have felt it at all, but like, people are up your ass with a microscope trying to figure out if you're a great dad or not.
Oh, like, yeah. But see, that's the beauty of this is we're not great dads. And we're pretty open about that. I mean, I won't speak for Graham. Graham's much better father than I am. But the scrutiny I get is from my wife when she listens to it and says, why are you criticizing me on your podcast? And
your wife actually listens to your podcast? I've been podcasting for years and my wife, I don't think, is tuned into one.
I think it's because she can hear it in the background and she knows I'm criticizing her. So, you know, it's ammo for the next conversation.
She's just trying to be supportive.
Yeah.
While also being able to have extra ammunition for circumstances that arise.
My wife is amazing. So I will say that. Rachel, you are amazing. Just as a caveat for the next time she listens. Yeah.
The one thing that is
we can scrutinize our wives here. This is I love this show.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, nothing held back here. Nothing held back. You know, the one nice thing, really positive trait about at least Warren and Rachel as well is that they do have a very open relationship in terms of, you know, everything is out in the open with their whole family, actually, for the most part. You know, nothing is held back, which is either sometimes good, mostly good.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's the only, we've had so much shit piled on us in the last year between, you know, suicidal kids and you know, ADHD and learning disabilities and all kinds of stuff. And then our daughter fell and broke her ankle yesterday. And it's just like, it never stops for us that we just feel if we're not open about it and we try and keep it all sealed down, it's never going to work for us. We're just both going crazy.
No. And men don't go see therapists. We start podcasts.
Yeah, that's right. We just talk about it over drinks.
Yeah.
So we just talk to each other.
Digress there, but you were getting back to the podcast. So you saw this other person's content.
Yeah.
And so go from there.
He had it handled. And I was like, okay, I don't want to do this angle knowing that is there because... Okay. And again, the scrutiny side of it was one of those things where like people in my hometown were starting to reach out to me and say like, hey, your view of fatherhood, your view of masculinity, your view of just who you are as a person is really offensive to me.
Wow.
You are not, how did they put it? You're not a good example. You're not a model example. You are just an example. And just being these kinds of people where they were like really digging in. So I was like, okay, this is stirring up some drama.
But I would argue that is so important to be an example and to give dads like a place that they can go and listen and go, I'm not perfect, but that's okay because nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
So when this started happening, I was like, okay.
Oh, the internet.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with these people coming directly after me as a parent.
Mm.
Because I feel like that kind of trickles down into my family, my wife, my kids, and they're phenomenal people. Mm-hmm. My wife came from like, I don't want to say like upper class, but she came from like dignified, respectful, like amazing Scottish people. Like, I cannot say enough good things about my wife's family. Like, her grandfather's a dragon. He's just sitting there on like a mountain of investment.
Okay.
Just like handing out things.
Yeah, he's Scottish.
Yeah, you got it. He was frugal. But then like her dad is like the dad's dad, the I'll help you fix that from miles away over the phone kind of guy.
Nice.
And she is wonderfully like she holds her head high. She's a good person. And like I came from the like wrong side of the tracks. Okay. So we met, we fell in love and they are stuck with me. And that's so great. Man, I got the coolest family out of this deal. But what I realized is that I'm not cool with people kind of attacking my family unit. But I am a-okay with people attacking me. And the fact that he said like I'm not a model example, I'm not a role model, I'm not any of that stuff, like I firmly disagree. So what I've decided to do is that's now in my comedy. So the entire thing I'm working on right now, if you go to my Patreon page, the first thing you see is big white and red model citizen logo.
Yeah.
which is so tongue in cheek.
Like, take it and throw it back at him. I love it.
Anyone who knows me is like, oh, you, no. But now I feel like I get to go out and be myself, be that person, because I've detached it from the family unit. I just get to go out there and basically, well, raise hell now.
And so I got to ask you a question about comedy and being a dad, because I have to imagine there are some things about that are really tough, in that comedy, you're always pushing the boundaries and you're having to make fun of the things both that you love and that you hate, knowing that at some point your kids are going to hear it.
Yes.
Right. I know that my kids are going to listen to this someday and go, yeah, you're right, Dad. You were kind of an asshole. Yes. And I'm okay with that. Like, in your comedy, do you have to tone things down knowing that your kids are going to listen to it? Or you're all out and you're just like, this is the way I am. Like, you're going to love it because you're going to grow up with me.
My kids, well, dude, they hear it now. They don't, okay. I don't, yep. I have one mode, right? So like, it's not my kids hearing it that I'm worried about, because my daughter literally, like lately, I said, okay, for the record, I said bejesus. She scared the bejesus out of me.
Yeah.
My daughter's been walking around for 3 days scaring the Jesus out of people. Which I personally love. She has also decided that she's just going to forego dignified language. So she walked in the other day and she's like, Dad, I'm pissed off. She's 2.5, by the way.
Yeah.
And that's your oldest one?
Yeah. Yep. My 10-month-old is a walking disaster. He is not. But no, like, so with her, she just comes in, she tells me she's pissed off. And I'm like, well, other words for that, honey, are upset, angry, frustrated, bothered. But what's got you pissed?
You know, none of those words represent it as well as pissed off does.
Yeah. And so she hears enough around the house.
Mima birds, for sure.
We don't use birds and bees. She knows them as privates. She knows the scientific terms. Like, she's an intelligent young lady. She was saying things like decoration and condensation at like 19, 20 months old. Like, she's, she keeps me on my toes. She corrects me constantly. So we both
have to go to
college soon.
That will continue.
Yeah.
We did the same with our kids, and with regards to all the private parts and all that kind of stuff. But they go to a school now where the school came to us knowing our kids and said, so at our school, we don't talk about those things. And we'd like it if your kids would refrain from pointing out the names of the body parts. And I'm like, good fucking luck. Yeah. Like, it's never going to happen. They're going to say it. Like, they're my kids. They're going to say whatever the hell they want. So
someone walked up to my daughter at Superstore and handed her a mask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were just at the supermarket and they handed her a mask and she looked at them and went, I'm not going to wear this.
Wow. 2.5. And
they were like, oh, okay. And I'm like, you see, like, literally at this point, it's not even consensual if I put it on her face. Like, I have to, like, I gotta respect her wishes. That's the new thing. Gentle parenting. She's a person. Like, deal with her. You deal with her. Yeah. Enjoy.
Yeah, it's your issue now, if you'd like to deal with this. Yeah.
You came over here with a mask. This is your problem now. You fix this. But yeah, so I'm not worried about my kids listening into this and being like, oh man, Dad was an asshole. Because they know. They love me, but they know.
Right.
And then I'm more worried about like my mom, my dad, my sister, because I'm dragging everyone down with me.
Yeah. And now, do you talk to them about the, like, you know, cross the shot across the bow first, or is it just like, you know, you let them?
If I'm worried about, like, I run everything by certain people. Like, there's things that we have found out about my son. Recently about his health, that before I got on the show, I sent my wife a message and said, hey, is this public knowledge? Is this just for us?
Right.
You know, before I write a joke about my sister, I'll send her, I know there's like, do not touch topics.
Oh yeah.
Because like, we're close. We know everything about each other. So there's things that I would never, ever say.
Right.
But there is gray zone where I'll be like, hey, When I wanted to make that joke about this, I didn't to be nice. So can I make this joke about that?
Yeah, it's the trade-off.
It's a joke barter.
Yeah.
My mom takes
I could have gone here. I didn't.
Out of respect
just,
for you.
Just so you know.
Yeah, out of respect for you, I kept that in. And I wanted
get
to.
Some
it was
points
good.
There. So I'm going to shift it over to this side.
Like, it's to the point where, like, I'm in a fight with my wife and she'll say something and I'll think of the most zingy comeback. And she sees it in my face, or I'll be like,
You know.
And she'll go, What? What? What did you think about? And I'll be like, No. I'm not gonna say it. She'll be like, It was good though, wasn't it? And I'm like,
Yeah, I'm writing it down for my comedy show. So
No, I'll actually say it, and she's like, Glad you didn't.
Yeah.
There's an understanding there with her, so it's good. But my mom takes a lot of things personally, like, God bless her, but right. She's sensitive. So like, if I say something about my upbringing 100% factual, mm-hmm. like, she will sit there fuming about it.
Yeah,
because there's an air of judgment on it.
Yeah. And then there's Sarge, which you may or may not have heard about.
I heard in one of the podcasts. So he came into your life when you were pretty young.
Yeah. And he's a shit kicking good time.
Right. So,
like, you know, so like, or my dad, even, you know, my estranged father who ran away when I was a child, mm-hmm. never to be seen. Well, I have seen him again. I shouldn't say never to be seen again. I've seen him. But, you know, like, what if he tunes in and I happen to crack a joke and he takes it just really wrong? I'm going to get like a heated email.
delete. That's the beauty of email.
Here, you little bastard. Yeah. So yeah, no, there are things that, like, I know you don't get to go out into this world without getting backlash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to offend feminists. I'm going to offend dads. I'm going to offend, I'm really going to offend lazy people. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to offend people who think I shouldn't swear. I'm going to offend people who think I should be easier on my kids.
Yeah.
Do you know how many boomers get pissed off when I say I respect my children's wishes?
Yeah.
The whole generation just goes, What? You know, like, it's just,
that's
it happens.
You're not supposed to be their friend.
Yeah.
That doesn't build any character. Actually, it does. Beatings. They're nowhere near as dark or damaged. Yeah. But, you know, so it's one of those things where, like, there's always going to be someone criticizing me. I might as well just do whatever the fuck I want.
Right.
Just ride the wave.
Well, where does it? You were saying, you know, this other podcast, you know, touched on some issues in terms of people seeing it. So where's the line and the difference between, you know, so the comedy spectrum and what you're doing in the podcast?
Well, I mean, the podcast I've gotten rid of. I've decided, you know what, that's fine, because there's one thing that I continuously do and I could never find a solution for. And that's, I'll go really deep on a topic, mm-hmm. and I will beat that topic to death. And it's got a 2 to 3 year lifespan, and then I'm bored.
Okay.
Right.
And I move on.
Yeah.
So none of my projects have really stuck beyond a couple of years, except for the production company. And that's just because it's, well, there's money in it.
Yeah.
So that's a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It keeps the family going.
You've heard it here first. Yeah. Money equals fun.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, all those people who are like, man, I'm just in it for the passion. No, I am in it for money. I am going to be
It's not just correlation. It's causation. This is, these are directly tied. Yeah.
Like, I'm going to feed my kids, but if I can feed them by the dump truck load, I'm going to, you know.
Now, I had heard you talk about the podcast as being something where you really wanted to focus, and you just mentioned laziness. You really wanted to focus on dads stepping up and not passive parenting. And I imagine that comes a lot from absentee father and that sort of thing. But what was it that really drove you down that road to kind of beat that one to death?
Xbox dads.
Yeah. Okay.
I fucking hate Xbox dads. And I'm sorry if anyone in the audience is an Xbox dad. I understand we are all flawed fathers. But video games, man. I lost 3 years of my life to World of Warcraft.
Oh, wow.
I just remember hitting slash played one day and seeing 3 years, 7 days, and like 3 years and a week. Right. If I had a baby during that time.
Yeah.
It would be three before I recognized it. Like,
right.
as my child. So like I look at gamers and like I see videos of them like losing a game because of their kid and flipping out on the kid, like right. screaming at babies, and I see, you know, people that I know personally, mom's out working, baby mom is out working, and this guy sat at home on the couch playing Xbox.
Right.
And like, again, I come from a place where I've had a dad kind of step out and decide mm-hmm. fatherhood was not for him. Probably a smart move. I've also had a man in my life who, like, when I was getting bullied, his answer wasn't talk to a teacher. His answer was, we're going to the gym.
Right.
You know,
you're gonna like, bulk up and you're gonna deal with this problem yourself. Yeah.
He's like, you may
at least
never
not playing Xbox.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, you may never have to toss. You may never have to toss knuckles, but you're gonna look like you can.
Right.
You know, and girls will like you too. And I was like, you know what? That's a powerful lesson. Thank you. You know, be good with your words and be buff as shit. Okay. I'm into it.
Yeah.
I like it. So, but yeah, so like when I look at the whole Xbox thing, like I just hear my stepfather's voice all the time being like, right. that's not how you parent. Like you don't just like make everyone else go out and do that work for you. Now, don't get me wrong. Stay at home dads, not digging on you at all, at all. If you are at home taking care of your castle, making sure that thing is perfect for when, you know, the kids are in it and keeping that place clean and safe and good for them, great. But literally, if like the laundry is stacking up and your children are like screaming for your attention and you're just sitting there playing Call of Duty, screaming at your friends in your headset, right. like, just fuck off. There's no other way to say it. Just yeah. fuck off.
There's a balance to everything, for sure.
Man up.
Yeah. Like, I mean, everyone needs their time sometimes, but not
yeah.
excessive.
Throw on a load of laundry, kiss your kids, and get back to it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's my big thing is like anything in excess is not good.
Yes.
But just, it was literally Xbox dads that made me go like, nah, you don't get to criticize my parenting, asshole. You're going to listen to me.
And so out of fathership, you've developed into the knighthood, which you mentioned you may be doing a bit of rebranding on, but it's a gentleman's group. And I know I was listening to another podcast that you did, where you were talking a little bit about, you know, you're coming up with values and coat of arms and all kinds of really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the knighthood.
So it's basically, it stemmed off of fathership. Our crest was the big shield and it was basically just becoming about the guy who defends your kids, champions your kids, makes your kids into the best possible kids they can be based on your example. But a lot of guys were like, dude, I'm not the example though.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, me either. Let's drag each other up then.
Yeah.
Kicking and screaming the whole way. So I got a Mighty Networks site, which is kind of like a social platform that you can build courses into and stuff like that. And there's a bit of fee involved. So I started paying a monthly fee in there and I threw like 10 guys in to beta test it. Cause my impression at the time was I might've wanted to start like a membership community on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I never really drove the marketing of it very hard because I ended up really enjoying these 10 guys. And I was like, screw it. I'll do a mastermind instead.
Yeah.
But I never wanted to monetize it. So I was like, we just hang out on Fridays. That's all we do. Like this just became a club, like a clubhouse or something. So
yeah, you were describing it on a podcast, like a tavern, right?
Yeah.
Where you guys get together and just talk shit about each other. And, there's kind of like a purpose for getting better along the way.
But we've gone into everything. Like I did a 1,000 pushups in a week challenge and
someone
came with us. I did a 25 pushup a day, 1 liter of water a day and 1 act of kindness a day. It was called the Gauntlet. People did that for 28 days straight.
Yeah.
Like I was starting to do a 90-day kick your addiction challenge in there, which it was going to be grueling. It was going to suck. But I have bad habits that I want to break. Everyone has a bad habit they wanted to break. So I was like, okay, you guys are great at pushups and sit-ups and being nice to people, but how good are you at like really
improving
yourself? So we started doing challenges.
Pushups are not improving yourselves. Those are easy. Drinking a liter of water, forget it.
Yeah, let's do some dark work. Let's get into some nasty places. Let's see who you really are. Sure. But by the way, I'm not a licensed psychologist. I'm just a psychopath. But so it was just the general idea. We got into so many topics and conversations, man, from gardening and homesteading to how to get your kid to ride a bike to, you know, a guy lost his wife a couple of years ago and he's still grieving through it and still trying to get used to it. And he's dating again. There was a guy in there who's 23 years old, not even a girlfriend, just wanted to prep himself to be the best man possible for when that possibility arose.
Good for him. Wow.
You know, there were some dads in there. Like it was really, it's a very diversified group. But again, like one of the things that I noticed was that the commonality was like, everyone just got in there to have a good time on a Friday night, forget about their week, laugh and learn something.
And where did you find these seemingly like random people?
Not random at all. They're people that I've been friends with for years. And I kind of figured our personalities would click. Yeah. There were a few I was worried about because they're a little bit edgy on their humor, but it seems like everybody gets along. And the ones who didn't, they kind of showed themselves out. The trash took itself out, which was kind of nice. Not that anyone was trash, but it's always nice.
But they did take themselves out.
Yeah, they did. They definitely, like, I didn't have to remove any bodies. They made cleaning up super easy. Anyone who just wasn't quite fit in the bill was like, you know what? I'm just go. I was like,
it reminds me of, I always chuckle when people say, you know, something like, no offense, and then immediately say something offensive right after that. He's like, hey, I did the Uno card. I said no offense. You can't possibly get mad at me because I said no offense before that. It's a scapegoat. You can't be mad.
Look, people don't call me unless they're ready to get mad about something and cry. I have a cousin who only calls me when he needs tough love. It's the only time he calls. And he'll call me once every couple of years and he'll be like, dude, I need to talk to you. And I'll be like, fuck's sakes, what now? That's where I start. Yeah. So like, you know, it's that kind of conversation. So like,
so tell me, how are you in terms of your children then, you know, 2.5. So so Warren has children, whether you know, in the older phase,
10, 8, 6.
I'm in the middle. I have a 6 and just past 2 year old. And then you're on the sort of the under same. So we're covered,
you know, 2.5 and 10 months, right?
Yeah. So I'm very much aware of what you're going through because we're pretty much at least comparable from the oldest to my youngest timeline. So what are the things that you're doing or you know, let's start from there and then we can go into more detail after the fact. But
how do you mean, what am I doing?
Well, how are you as, you know, the things that you just talk about, stepping up and, you know, being there, not an Xbox parent, et cetera. So what are you taking steps to do with your two children? Overall.
Well, to be honest with you, I live in a neighborhood like my neighbor next door, old man, very old man, retired, his wife, wonderful people, very talkative. He never changed a diaper in his entire life. Because his generation just didn't do that.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, meanwhile, like typically I'm the first one up with my son. My wife and I, we started trading off every second day I get to sleep in, which is so cool. But for a while I did not get to do that. Okay. Like I'm not even going to pretend I'm the leader in this household. Like my wife calls the shots 100%. I can't be trusted. But, so I wake up, I change the diapers. I take them for drives. I take them for walks. And it used to bug me when I took them for walks and people would stop me in the street and be like, you're such a good dad.
Yeah.
I'm like, because I'm walking with my.
Yeah. The bar for dads is so low.
Yeah. That always bothered me. But now I'm like, yeah, you know what? I am. But.
Yeah. Thank you.
I was like, you don't know that and you don't know me, but tell me I'm pretty some more. Yeah. But yeah, so I like cooking meals with them. I like getting them involved. If I'm taking something apart, my daughter has helped me mount most of the things in the house that need mounting with the screwdriver. If her toys, the last time a battery needed changing, she did it herself.
Yeah.
And one of her toys with the screwdriver and everything. Like I'm present in the, I'm going to teach you things role. My right. son, when he needed to crawl, I was on all fours on the floor with him, showing him how it's done, picking him up, putting him there. Like, I really think that a dad's role has always been to kind of lead by example and show mm-hmm. your kids what to do.
Yeah.
Mom's role is to tell your kids what to do, 100%. Because have you ever tried to tell your kids what to do? They just kind of laugh at you, don't they?
Yeah, because you're not mom.
That's yeah. it.
Right? Everyone...
We show them the way, and then mom tells them to effing go.
Well, so I guess it's all a matter. Everyone has their different place. So I would say that's not the case in our household.
Cool, cool.
I am more on, I'm definitely more the authoritative type of individual. This is what needs to get done and et cetera, et cetera. My wife, Vanessa, is very good, but in other aspects of things, she can never be on time for anything to save her life. So, that's reliant entirely on me. And unfortunately, most things have timelines. So,
I am that person too. My wife has ADHD. Like, she can't be anywhere on time. Period. Right. Ever. She has no concept of time. We once showed up to a Father's Day dinner for me at 3. The dinner was at 1. Like. I wasn't even there for my own dinner. Right. Like, so I get it 100%. But for some reason, because I'm my kid's best friend in the whole world, mm-hmm. sometimes when I tell them to do things, they're like, okay, come right. on. Like, you're dad. Like, my son yeah. is not factored into this. He's still at that phase where you say no and he just
yeah.
tries to put stuff yeah. in his mouth anyway.
Yeah.
It might change. I mean, 2.5 is still, they're still developing their personality and things. I mean, hey.
I'm the one who gets them to do things most often because, like, there's a lot of respect between my daughter and I, like a ton of it because we're tight, we're close.
Right.
But let me put it this way. When I need something done, like, immediately right now and I don't have time to negotiate with her, I'm like, should I get your mother involved? And she's like, no!
don't do that. Yeah.
So yeah, like that's kind of how it goes in this house is like, I show my kids the way, I show them everything. If I'm doing something, they're involved. And I don't play video games anymore. I used to, but since you got like that bio made me realize I have to trim more fat. Like I have to shave stuff off. It's like, I don't actually have time to sit down and play video games anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
And if I do, it's like 15 minutes of NHL and then I'm done. I'm out.
Right.
How do you manage the balance between all the stuff that you're doing in podcasts and well, I mean, we're doing podcasts, but the group and podcast production and all the other stuff that you've got going on?
Well, it helps when things just don't work out because that frees up a lot.
Like the trash that leaves the group.
You got it.
Like when clients decide like, hey, I'm going to take a hiatus. I'm like, look at all this time I found. Most people are like, oh no, my income. And I'm right. like, I've been poor before. Let's do this. It's nothing new. I can do this.
Yeah.
So for me, the balance is more so in like life is very seasonal. Mm-hmm. So like right now, I'm all in with my kids. Mm-hmm. I work when I can.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Good. I might do a grand total of 4 to 5 hours of work a day. Mm-hmm. I don't go hard on work because when they're in school, I'm going to be bored to death.
Yeah.
So
hey, that time goes by really fast though. It's, I mean, you would think, 4 to 5 hours of work throughout the day. When they go to school, it's 9 to 3. I mean, that's 6. I've got
it's gone.
So, but man, that it's fascinating.
Yeah. I got 3 of them, all 3 in school, and it just disappears.
Yeah.
Like that time. And, you get back and it's like, okay, I got to plug in another hour or two tonight. And it just, but having them in school that first year, when they first start going into school, it feels like
it's weird.
It's amazing. Like you just have,
well, I can't say I don't know from experience because only half of my kids are in school. So it's like, you just get a 50% off sale when the Monday to Friday happens. So
you slide into the kitchen and you're like, what's this? There's no one in this room.
Yeah, that's
oh,
right.
I can actually eat my entire meal without it being picked apart. This is neat. This is interesting.
Yeah. Go to the bathroom and you just leave the door wide open.
Nobody's I don't even here. Bother.
Just so you know, that doesn't change when they get older.
We like don't they even still, bother closing the door.
They still come busting right in. Yeah. You know, like
I don't bother closing the door. It's an open door policy, and it's actually I go downstairs, which you know, a level separation is enough. It's it doesn't eliminate just, it, but
it's only that gives you time to hear them coming. That's all that is. You're like, gotta go quick, zip. But so, no, for me, like just being a dad is and balancing it all is time in with my kids as much as possible. Mm-hmm. That is my strategy. And what's not going into the kids is going into my wife in the evenings. Like I spend all my evening time with her. So that 4 to 5 hours is literally all I give myself to make a career out of.
Yeah.
And I just run with it as hard as I can right now.
Terrific.
So you've known you were going to be a dad now for about 3.5 years, you know, nine months before your daughter was born. Did you always know you wanted to be a dad?
I hated kids in high school. Like I'd walk by elementary schools and the kids would be like yelling at me and I'd literally get into like fights with them. I'd be like, why are you such a disrespectful little brat? And they'd give me the finger and I'd be like, oh, okay, it's that kind of party. All right, let's do this, little kid. But, you know, I did not like kids for the longest time. And then a friend of mine saw me in the mall and she was like doing the whole marsupial mom thing.
Okay.
And then she was like, hey, I got to run real quick. I trust you. Hold this. And she just hands me the baby and like runs off to the bank. And I was like,
I have a baby.
Yeah. I was like, I trust you. Take this. Yeah. It's your problem now.
That's right.
And
just,
I was like,
just don't kill it.
Yeah. I was like, is she going to the bank and then leaving permanently? Or is she like, is this my baby? Yeah. Now? Like, not much was said. In
so many thoughts. So many thoughts.
Immediately fills the diaper. Yeah. Guaranteed.
Well, it didn't matter because when she came out, it was in the same position she left me. I was still like staring.
Frozen inside.
But something happened in that time frame where, like, I developed a bond with this child. Okay. I was like, nice. I like looking at you. You're nice. You're pleasant. Like you're not as freaky and scary as I thought you'd be. And then I babysat her one day because again, that friend just kind of popped by for a visit and went, kind of want to go do groceries. Kind of want to take a break from my child. Do you mind hanging out with her for a bit while your girlfriend and I go do groceries? And I was like, yeah, all right. So I showed her like my geckos and we watched like really like cracked out cartoons and we like just kind of spent the day together. It was probably only like 2 hours, but it felt like a day.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure.
When you don't have kids, it feels like a lot. And then
even when you do sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
After that moment, I was like, okay, I can be trusted with the care of a child. I wonder if this is an opportunity for me. Is this something I want? And yeah, I guess from that moment, I did know that I wanted kids.
Nice.
And that was like in my early 20s, I think.
Okay.
Now dovetailing that a little bit more, what were or are your thoughts on daughters? I know for me, when I was in university, I think I feel like I always wanted to have kids. In high school, I probably didn't really think about it too much. In university, you know, it maybe came up. It's not like, oh yeah, I need to have kids now. But I did know that at some point in time, I probably would, but I would not want to have daughters. And that has changed since because I try and take in other information and I can go on to that, but let you answer first.
For me, I kind of wanted a, and this is going to, like, I can't pin one against the other, but Fraser, if you ever hear this, yeah, it's not that I didn't want you. I knew I always wanted a daughter and I knew you were going to give me a hard time and you did. Right?
We're 10 months in.
Yeah. We're 10 months in and already you have broken all of my shit. Right? Your sister didn't break anything. Yeah. But no, she's breaking my sanity, but that's different. You guys, like,
You're going for my mind. He's going for my physical.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Yeah,
it's a two-parter.
I heard in the past a quote that says, a daughter will break your heart, but a boy will break your stuff.
Yeah, that makes
and
sense.
It's true, man. Because like your daughter does, not from doing anything wrong, but she grows up, she gets married, she marries off into another family, and then like you spend the rest of your life like thinking back on the relationship you and your little girl had. Like, that's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. But then with your son, you're like, break your own shit, get out of here.
Absolutely. Yeah. For me, I, you know, somewhat have an investor mindset overall, and I like to observe and things like that. And so what I started to notice is started with my wife, I would say, where she has a brother, and the things that my wife would be doing for her parents, you know, thoughtful, wonderful things. And then the opposite side, seeing what lack of things that her brother would do, and just sort of be there and show up and get, you know, my wife to hand him things to make him look good type stuff. And then, and then I sat and thought about all the non things that I did for my parents and all the things that my wife again did for them and made me look good. And then I started to look at other families at the same type of land. Like, well, that's pattern. A sister, brother, sister, nice, brother, dipshit. Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Let's see that, you know, and there's a pattern here. There's a pattern. And so I realized, you know what? No, I need to have a daughter here because I'm going to get older. I need someone to look after me here. This is a crucial part.
Look, when I go to my mom's place, like, I leave that place as nice, if not nicer, than I found it. Like, everything is clean, tidy, everything. My sister kind of kicks back and takes liberties for a little while. She does get around to the cleaning, but she's a little more comfortable at home than me. Like, again, she didn't grow up under Serge's command. So, like, I'm at home and I'm like, oh man, Glenn's going to be home soon. Like, these dishes got to be done. Like, when he walks in this house, there better not be anything on the counter. The floor better be like, is the couch made or the pillows good? Yeah. Okay. Like, full blown anxiety attack until he gets home and kind of looks around. And I know, like, last time we were there, my daughter and son played with pie plates and my daughter put them on an end table, and I'm waiting for his message. He hasn't sent it yet. It's been 3 days, but I'm waiting for him to bring it up. He once knew I was there by a footprint he found outside. Like, what? You're a maniac.
Does he do those CIA things where you see in the movies where he like tapes hairs on doorways and things like that? Like, this has been broken. I can tell.
Oh man, I remember one day he was like, "So were you at the house today?" And I'm like, "Dude, I left it perfect. Like, how do you know?" He's like, "A teeny tiny footprint in the snow." And I was like, "Oh, get out of here." It's become a contest. So like, no, for me, but I will say that like, when my mom gets old, my sister's taking care of her. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. I got enough on my plate.
Yeah. I've had a talk with other people about this. And one of my friends came up with I thought it was an interesting point. And this is, of course, typically it doesn't happen across the board, but he said his point was that males tend to look after the parents in other ways, in that males tend to be more controlling of finances and things like that. Maybe that'll change over time. I'm sure it's not the case for other guys, but a lot of times guys kind of handle the financial aspect. And so when parents get older, that tends to be taken care of that aspect. And I can see from my father's perspective, that's what happened there. His sister took care of everything in terms of arranging the nursing home and making visiting a whole bunch and doing everything else. But then he took care of selling the house and negotiating things and setting things up and making everything paid and things like that. And so, you know, it was an interesting point as well that, you know,
you kind of go where your talents are.
Right.
I think that's the important thing, right? Like, for me, I couldn't handle my family's finances at the moment, as it were. You know, I'm learning, becoming a little more financially aware every day. But for me, like, it would be more so like, I go over there, and if my mom needs the lawn mowed, I do that. If
she needs
something moved or hauled, I do that. You know, like, whatever it is, if they need an extra set of hands for things, I do that. You know, Sarge doesn't need much help with much.
Right.
But every now and then, I kind of get him back in touch with the fact that he is a human being underneath all of that camouflage. And
yeah. I mean, that helps.
Stone.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, man, remember that time you cried?
Now, being a father to a daughter, I know it's happened for me. Do you find that you're more emotionally connected now? Like, do you find like commercials and sappy movies and stuff affect you more than they did before? Because they definitely do for me.
Not gonna lie to you, man. I've been a sensitive kid my whole life. I used to cry over everything, and like people would look and I'd be like, no, you're crying, shut up. But like, I just, one thing I did notice after having kids though, period, like daughter or not, is I can't watch anything with like child abductions.
Oh,
or
yeah.
If harm comes to a child, yeah, it just turns my stomach. I can't do it.
Right.
I remember watching shows in the past and like pre-children, I was like, man, the season's amazing. It's crazy. It's so over the top. And then after children, I'm like, can't do it.
Right.
Turn it off. Like,
yeah.
But as far as the emotional connection thing, I think what it's done for me, rather than connecting me to my sensitive side, it's made me much more aware of the little girl inside of pretty much every woman I've ever met that I didn't know was there before.
Right.
Because like, once you see that little girl, you see her everywhere. So there are things that my wife does that are actually reflective of the little girl she was from. Okay. Like when she's eating, she'll do this little wiggle if the food's good.
My wife does the exact same thing. We call it wagging her tail. It's the exact same thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does it?
Yeah.
That might.
Yeah. Well, you got to step up your cooking game.
Hey, you don't know me. That is, I do have to step up my cooking game. And that's from like toast to, you know, I mean, you can see, you hear the laughter, fuel. You see the laughter.
Yeah. Like, it's that's exactly what it is to him. Like,
yeah, it's just
like
fuel. That's
oats
100%.
With milk and frozen raspberries every day for breakfast. Like, yeah, that,
eats for
if you
fuel.
Offered him anything else, he wouldn't enjoy it.
It's weird for me and other people who are maybe eat to survive type people will know this, but I appreciate good food. I will eat and enjoy great food 100%. But if I were to be asked to make that same food, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I enjoy it, but no, I'm just going to eat the basic stuff and that's good.
We talked about this before. You'd just have whole cucumbers. And just,
the salad would not be a salad. It would be like I'd eat the cucumber and then the carrot.
Are you primarily plant-based? Are you primarily plant-based?
It sounds like that.
No.
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 My wife doesn't eat beef. And so therefore I don't particularly do that.
But, except when you're here.
Chicken. That's right. Yeah. Other places I do. I make up for it.
Yeah, of course. You don't go to a steakhouse and not order a steak, right?
We probably would be more vegetable based. My wife has something called Crohn's disease, which is a digestive issue.
Absolutely.
So fiber, like basically if a vegetarian does not coincide with Crohn's disease, because it's like a whole lot of fiber, which is not necessarily the best for Crohn's. So that's the reason why we're not
spend
there.
She'd spend her life in the washroom.
Yeah.
But no, like I look at it in terms of like, so in my household, we are primarily plant-based thanks to the children.
Mm.
You know, my daughter was born with an allergy to casein, which is found in like all cow, everything, their meat, their milk, their everything. So like we've gone completely dairy free in the house, completely like beef free in the house. We do eat the occasional like chicken, turkey, ham, like very occasional, but for the most part, we are a plant-based family, which is why I asked like for the whole like food thing. Cause like, I just listened to you talk and I'm like, oats, raspberries. That sounds like I eat. How is that misery working out for you, bro?
It's not oatmeal.
I'll tell you what.
It's not oatmeal. It's oats.
It's just the oats.
It's uncooked oats.
Literally, you're sitting there with a spoon just chewing on it.
I'll be out in an hour once I get through this. Yeah.
Every time you talk about it, I just think like putting an oat bag over your head and just letting you feed. Like,
if I had milk,
like cattle
I would do this.
It's love it.
Don't knock it until you try it. It's
so
wonderful.
So we'll go back to the idea of, you know, raising a daughter.
Because
my experience is you know, focused around that. Anything like, I'm terrified of the teenage years. Like, absolutely terrified. And I don't know how you feel about it, but, you know, are you looking forward to, you know, the 7 to 10 years where they're supposed to be the biggest sweethearts and then, you know, teenage years being the exact opposite.
Oh, my daughter's always going to be a sweetheart to me, or I'll disown her.
Let that be known.
I have a lot of confidence in my relationship with my daughter, and I understand that things change and when I have to set the bar and like put lay the banhammer down on boyfriends and stuff like that. Like, she's going to hate my guts during those times. But I've got a very simple strategy in place for that.
Okay.
The rebellion phase, I've been there. I've done that. I'm just going to be like, this is funny. Like, give me all of the material and gold that I need. Like, let's do this. I'm going to have a lot of fun with that. Because okay. That's just all mental. And to be fair, it's innocent. And if you don't give them rules to rebel against, what do? They just...
yeah.
They just sit there. They blank. You're like, okay, whatever. You're you. Go be you. Yeah. Do your thing. Don't do crystal meth, but do your thing. Like,
that's the line.
Yeah. Like, everything else is fine. You know, it's just got to be naturally derived. You know, cocaine, great. You know, it's plant-based. You know, it's the crystal meth that we're really concerned about.
Are you allergic to it? Yeah, don't touch it. Don't eat burgers. Don't do crystal meth.
Yeah, it's got casein in it. It's, you gotta stay away from it.
Just gonna tell her there's casein in everything.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But no, like for me, as far as like my goal is to be kind, be open, have her be able to come to me and talk about anything. Like I walk in the door and she's like, Dad, Mom got mad at me today. And she gets she reports to me everything her mother did wrong. Mm-hmm. And then I got to sit there and be like, well, I mean, yes, I agree with that. We're going to talk to her about that one. How did that make you feel? Yes. No, you can't hit your brother. Like, and just basically like, so she, and the whole time she's like, okay, they're on the same page here. This is where Dad's got a weak spot.
Right.
Whole time.
And they're good at that too.
Absolutely.
Once they figure out that little hole, they're not the brightest in terms of figuring out the hole. And then they consistently repeat it so that you, presumably you acknowledge it a lot faster. Like, hey, you know, you guys got to pace this out here. Like you found a weakening here. You gotta stretch it out.
They exploit it often.
Yeah.
Like until it closes, while. Right? It's like a tax loophole, right? If everybody starts using it, it gets closed pretty fast. Like
for a while, my daughter got used to the idea that the breakfasts I made were a lot more, they resembled junk food a lot more than her mom's breakfasts. So she would always ask me to make her breakfast. And then one day I caught on, I was like, wait a minute. Is this because I let you eat crap food? And she's like, I love crap food. And I was like, no, you're using me at this point. This is over. This is done. I'm done with this.
Loop so, closed. But, this is an important lesson. Don't don't work this through.
But like, so I'm going to let her be her. I'm going to allow her to be open with me and think that I'm a fun, communicative person that doesn't judge and doesn't hold things against her and all that. And I'm going to obviously reinforce her values as she gets older and let her know what our family values are, and whether or not she cares is not up to me.
Right.
So there's no point stressing about that, but at least communicating what we value as a family. And then like this girl's already, she knows how to change windshield wash. She knows how to like, if we have to change the wheels on her wagon, she's carrying the wheel, she's holding everything, unless there's like real intricate work to do. Like she's doing most of the grunt work. So my goal is basically that she emasculates every boy that ever tries anything.
Right. You're teaching her that sense of independence.
Like if a guy comes along and he's like, hey, let's pop the hood and take a look and tries to like basically make her feel like small and vulnerable, I want her to be like, yeah, sure, let's do that. And then I can go in there.
Right.
And she'll be like, here, hold the light. And she can go in there and kind of teach him a thing or two, you know, and like, because I want her to be able to meet a person, not because she requires them to do something for her, but because she's genuinely interested in that person.
Yeah.
You know, and that for me, like, I understand the teenage years aren't the time, but like boys are interested in easy money in their teenage years. Some of them, they want to connect. And honestly, the connection in the teenage years, like I was the guy who wanted to connect, but I was also girl crazy for different reasons. Right.
Yeah.
So like, I'm looking back at that. Like if a girl was crazy good at everything that I could teach her, I wouldn't be, she wouldn't be interested in me because I wouldn't be interesting to her.
Right.
So I'm basically just going to make sure my daughter doesn't fall for cheap shit.
Yeah.
Like she's going to have a lot of skills and a lot of values, and she's going to be able to, like, she's not going to be insecure. If that makes sense.
You may not have to wait till teenage years. You know, my 8-year-old daughter who's in grade 3, we were counting this up today and she has 5 boyfriends right now. Mm. We received a message from another parent, kid who goes to a different school, and he had written out his school project was a perfect day with my daughter. And he had described, you know, he's 8 years old and he's describing that it's sitting by the campfire with her and roasting marshmallows with her and all this kind of stuff. And she's got these 5 kids from Nova Scotia to Vancouver who all think that they're her boyfriend. And at 8 years old. So this may be an issue that comes up in your life way before teenage years, if you've got kids like mine.
See, I have to start working on my plan is, I can understand and respect from your side for sure. That makes total sense. It's add that to the arsenal there. I'm trying to work on the mental game aspect of things too. Realizing, you know, like the Spider-Man Uncle Ben type stuff, with great power comes great responsibility type stuff. But the acknowledgement of how much control females have, especially in the teenage years.
They rule the world.
You guys can, you rule the world almost outside of the teenage years as well, but in particular the teenage years, like, you could do whatever the hell you want. It's like they are morons overall, and it doesn't change much, but you know, especially in that time period, like,
men are simple. We are very simple to the point where it's painful for our female companions, because they're like, oh my god, like, complicate a little bit, and I'm like, no,
this is working for me.
No, so, gonna...
food sex money. Food sex money, that's it. That's
sometimes in a different order, but
we like variety sometimes. It's reverse it, you know, sex, food bunny sometimes.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. Like, it is that simple for us, sadly, where women go through all of these emotional connections. How do I feel about my money? How did that, what does this food say about me as a person? Yeah. Oh my God, he made a face during sex. Did he not like it? Did he like it? Am I ugly? Am I fat? We don't do that. We're just like, did I eat? Did I have sex? Did I spend very little and or get paid today? Hey, it's been a great day going to bed. Right. Yeah. Like, that's it.
And then goes to sleep immediately.
Immediately.
Off the case.
Yeah. Yeah. Clear conscience.
Yeah.
After having kids, before kids couldn't sleep. After kids, sleep like a log. It's great. So if you have insomnia, have kids.
Okay. Good advice. So we've been going for about an hour now. And I know we've taken up your evening here. We really appreciate you being on the podcast. I got one last question for you and then we'll shut it down. If you could snap your fingers and fix one thing about the way that you parent right now, what would it be?
Patience. I really wish, not that I have a lack of patience, but like, my children see me get impatient with my wife. Mm-hmm. Again, she has ADHD. We are not sure if my daughter does, but we are looking and seeing some signs and symptoms and things like that we are recognizing that my wife has too. And so I really do wish that just sometimes when they're going through the things that I don't understand, I wish I could honestly just clue in just a little faster, not even fix it, just clue in just a tiny bit faster, instead of having my head shoved so far up my own butt. That I'm like, why are they doing this? This is non-compliant. I don't like it. Being like, oh, you are actually lost in a firework of thoughts now, and you have no idea how to fix this. All right, let me help you. Like, I do get there, but sometimes it takes me just a bit too long and a couple of tears that didn't need to be shed. So that's probably the one thing I say I wish I'd fix.
There's a lot of big nods here from both of us. I can notice, because we talk about that almost every time that you're like, you know, people say, okay, well, why don't you just be a little bit more calm or, you know, not light the fuse, et cetera. And sometimes it's just hard. Like, it's so reactionary.
You don't even notice.
It's so hard.
Yeah. You've already exploded by the time you notice, right? Yeah. You're way down that road by the time you can figure out, oh, I should take a deep breath.
And that's like what we talk about all the time. Yeah, like, it sounds
good. Because ADHD parent, I've got an ADHD child, right? And I can only imagine how frustrating that is for my wife, because I'm off in my own world, you know, searching for dopamine. So is my daughter. And the two of us are completely not conscious of anything that she wants at any given moment. And so she's just trying to get us honed in to focus.
I've been living with ADHD for 4 years and only realized that's what it was for the last year. And it for me, like, I'm very regimented, very structured, very, but I came to find out recently that Sarge is ADHD.
Okay.
And that is why he is so regimented.
Yeah.
Is lists for everything, right? So like, that was one of the things that was really interesting to me. And like, the ADHD stuff really just, it's a learning curve, but it's a lot easier to work with now that I have a name for it.
Yeah.
Before, when I didn't know what it was difficult. And man, I do not envy you. Like, I do not envy the way your mind works. I think it's incredible. I think, again, like, I'm a laser beam. I focus on something and I just, boom. You guys are like an entire fireworks show.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's all over the place.
Your receptors are just, and every single one of those booms is like 100 little thoughts that you want to talk about or do or go like engage in right now. Like, I think that's researchers. Make sure if you ever hire a researcher, they have ADHD and love to read.
That's
you will never have better and more research on your desk than ever, and then they'll want to tell you about
it. That's right.
I do that all the time. Like, anytime my wife and I are going on a trip, I do the research for the trip. It drives her nuts because it's the only thing I can focus on for 3 months. And by the time we get there, I'm like, oh, we're doing this and this and this and this and this and this.
Imagine having the roles reversed. Imagine your wife is ADHD and try to imagine that you are not. Imagine her handing you a honey-do list of home renovations. That's where I'm at in my life. My wife's like, oh, I would love to do this and this and this and this and this. And I'm looking at it and all I'm thinking of is ching, 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 ching. Or this is going to take me like an entire career's worth of school to learn. So like, I'm just looking at this thing going like, can't we focus on like one major project at a time? That'd be great.
So I got my question. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. So where can our listeners find you? I'm going to post a few things in the show notes, but give them a rundown.
Best place to find me is Instagram, Scott_Doucette. And I'm pretty sure that'll be in the show notes. So I'm not going to spell it out for you. Drive me nuts when people do that.
Yeah.
But the other place is, if you think I was funny enough to actually like throw money at, you can go check out my Patreon.
I think the minimum on the Patreon was like $3 a month, right?
$3.
Like, I think everybody can throw $3 behind that. So,
well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll depend. we'll see who I pissed off today.
Yeah. But some people pay to get pissed off, man. That's okay. I'll throw those both in the show notes. Thank you so much again.
Really appreciate it.
This has been awesome. I hope we get to stay in touch, and I'm looking forward to hearing more of your comedy.
Yeah. Thank you for tolerating me, and please have me back anytime. I enjoyed it.
We will. Thank you.